Also want to greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I want to talk this morning about baptism. I find sometimes some of the teachings that are in Scripture, we don't talk about a whole lot. And I thought back over the years in ministering here, I'm not sure if I ever talked about baptism. So this morning, that's what we're going to look at. It's something that we've been discussing as a leadership team about baptism. And a question has come up, does baptism tie in with church membership? We're not going to talk about that one this morning. That's going to be the next message. We'll talk a little bit more about baptism, church membership, and baptism of the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Spirit. So this morning we're just going to look at baptism. I'm doing something a little bit different this morning. I'm going to ask a question, and then I'm going to put that on the screen, and we're going to go to the Scripture and see how that's answered. Now I want to open myself to each one of you as we look at all these different ideas of that Scripture gives us about baptism. We may not understand it all the same way. So I want to open myself to each one of you. If you see something that you see different in Scripture, talk to me about it. I want to learn. I want to follow Scripture in what it teaches. That's one of my goals right now, is to look into the Scriptures and to read it and then to follow it. Change is something that happens in each one of our lives. I have made a lot of changes in my years as a believer because I'm growing, I think. Each one of us, as we grow, we wouldn't be too satisfied with our children in staying tiny, would we? We're feeding them. We want them to continue to grow. So it's the same way in our spiritual walk. If we don't continue to grow, there's a problem. Sometimes we get the idea in some of the things that we practice at church, or in our Christian walk of life, we get the idea that, or I shouldn't say we get the idea, we see that something isn't quite like it should be. So I came home from work on Thursday afternoon. I pulled into the driveway, and when I backed my truck in the spot where my truck has a home, there was steam coming out from underneath the hood. Something's not right. So I could have ignored that and said, you know what, when I start that truck up the next morning, it's going to be just fine. And we're going back to work. Or I could have said, you know what, something's not right. Let's open the hood. Let's see what's there. So I opened the hood. Sure enough, there was a hose that was rubbing on another part, and it had rubbed through and the antifreeze was shooting out. So I figured out what was wrong, and I bought a new part. Now it runs well. It's sitting out here this morning. I really watched that gauge this morning to make sure it doesn't overheat. So I repaired it. Sometimes it takes us as a brotherhood to try to figure out what is right. What does the Bible say? That's why I'm opening myself to you this morning to talk to me later on. If there's something that you sense that I'm going to share this morning that is not Bible, I really want you to talk to me. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 28. This is going to be a little bit of where we're going to go this Sunday. And then also, Lord willing, when I preach again, I'd like to come back to this Scripture again and glean some more out of this Scripture. So my first question that I have this morning is, why do we baptize? why do we baptize? So we ask, our children are growing up, and if they never hear us talking about this, they see it happening. Maybe they don't understand why we do baptize. I think it's really, really important for us as parents to teach in our homes. We can teach over the pulpit, but parents, it's really important that we teach our children at home why we do what we do as believers. I'd like to read verse 16 through 20 of Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So as we look at that scripture, it's pretty simple. The answer to that one, we baptize because it's a command in scripture. That's what it says here in verse 19. And we have some other scriptures that echo that. We're not going to those this morning. But verse 19, he says, go. Teach. Baptize. And I look at the word go, I look at an action word. If I'm going to go somewhere, I'm not going to just sit. But that's an action word. We're to go. Now, we're not going to dig into that one this morning because go means to go out. It may be right here. A lot of going happens here on Tuesday nights at Kids Club. And I appreciate seeing what's been happening on Tuesday evenings here at Kids Club. So let's move on to the next one. How do we baptize? This one has brought up a lot of questions over the past. We baptize them. We baptize those that are believers in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we baptize in that way. And this is why we call it a Christian baptism, because the Trinity is involved. The Trinity is not a word that's in Scripture. But the Trinity is involved in this, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And because of this, we call this a Christian baptism. I also have something there on what the word baptize means. And I know this has been discussed years back in our congregation. How do we baptize? I was not baptized by immersion. I was baptized by pouring. That was how they did it in the congregation where I was at. So I'm not here this morning to tell you what one is wrong and one is right. But as I look into Scripture and I start to look at what the word baptize means, it actually means to immerse, to submerge, or to make whelmed. I have never heard the word whelmed before that I know of. Whelmed has the idea of being fully wet. In other words, so when we immerse, when we submerge, we make fully wet. I have a hard time seeing that with pouring. So I'm not here this morning to make that an issue. But I believe if we want to follow Scripture as close as we can, that's what it teaches us. We realize there are different ways, and we're not going to create an issue out of that. But if we want to be as what the word baptize means, I believe that's what it states, is to immerse. So we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit through immersion. Some pour water on the head, some sprinkle. And again, I'm not going to make an issue out of the way that it's done. But I do believe it's good for us to look into Scripture and follow very carefully what it teaches us. Let's go to the next question. What does baptism signify? When John was baptizing, there's a scripture I didn't go to. Maybe we'll have to go to that the next time. But it's a scripture where they were asking, have you received the Spirit? And they made a comment. They didn't know that there was a Holy Spirit. John's baptism was unto repentance. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was not until, if I'm correct on this, and you can correct me later if I'm wrong on this, but after John was making a way for Jesus to come in where he got baptized with the Holy Spirit. So John's baptism was unto repentance. It was bringing the people to a place where they were realizing that they were in a fallen state, that they needed repentance. John 3, there's a story we have of Nicodemus, Jesus and Nicodemus discussing. And Jesus told Nicodemus there in John 3, he said, you must be born again. Jesus doesn't mention baptism in that scripture. But he mentions being born again or believing. Whosoever believeth in him, we know that verse very well. John 3:16. Verse 18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but that he that believeth not is condemned already. And he's talking about believing. There are many churches today that will baptize when there is no believing. Scripture is very clear that it is those that believe that are to be baptized. Mark 16, verse 14 through 16. I'm just going to state this, read this real quick. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And there's more, I believe, in Mark 14 or Mark 15 maybe, where he talks a lot about believing, which is what has to happen before baptism takes place. One thing I want to make sure of this morning that we understand is that baptism is not salvation. Baptism is an act of obedience because of something that has happened within us. Matter of fact, I believe it's one of the first acts of obedience that should come out of the believer. It signifies that we have faith in Jesus as our crucified, buried, and risen Savior. We believe that baptism is on confession of faith. That takes away the baptism of babies because they cannot confess. If we go back to where the Anabaptists started, we find that that was the reason they stepped away from the Catholic Church, was because there were babies being baptized, and there were those that thought we need to baptize on the confession of our faith. Baptism signifies that we have faith in Jesus Christ. I read something that Steve Stutzman shared this week, and just in relation to baptizing, something that really spoke to me. I'm not sure where Steve is at. I don't know if anybody knows what country he's in, but he's in a foreign country where there is a lot of persecution right now. Baptism to those believers is real. When they are baptized, it could mean death. They had a lady with them in their group for breakfast that morning that was being hunted down because she was part of a baptism. If she's caught, her sentence is 15 years in prison. Baptism is real for them. I had to think to myself, how much do I really believe that baptism is important? The next question that I have, what does buried with him by baptism mean? I threw that one around for a long time, and I'm still not at the bottom of that one. I'm going to read a couple of verses out of Romans 6, and you can listen as I read these. Romans 6:3 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, because of this, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So when we're baptized, we're making a statement that we are united with Jesus Christ in his death. We are buried. And when someone is buried, they're normally dead, right? So we die to sin. We die to self. Romans 6:7 says, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." But it's not where we stay. I saw a short clip of somebody trying to explain a little bit about being buried with him by baptism. And he drew a straight line of water. There were some waves, but he drew a straight line of water. And it said when Jesus died, he was buried. He went into the grave. He was under the, we would say under the soil. He was actually in a tomb. When we die to self, we are buried with him. We go under the water. But it's not where we stay. That's not the end of it. Jesus in 3 days was resurrected because he overcame death. We go down and we come back up and we are resurrected to newness of life with him. A life where sin no longer has dominion over us. So by going under, we echo Christ's death. We join in with it. By coming back up, we echo his resurrected life and we join with it. So baptism signifies that we've made a conscious choice to follow Jesus Christ. We have spiritually died with him, and spiritually we have been raised to life with him. So our baptism is declaring to God and those witnessing that we have become a part of the family of Jesus Christ. I love that idea. The fact that when we are baptized, we're making a statement. We're making the statement that we have given ourselves, we have sold out to a kingdom where Christ is our guide. He is our king. He is the one that we're following. The old paths are gone. We now travel a new road. I want to give you some food for thought. So we know that Satan and his demons know a lot about what's going on around us. There is a spirit world. But we also know that Jesus and the angels know what's happening. So there's a battle that's going on around us today. If we could see what's happening in here this morning, I think we'd be surprised. So here's my thought. And again, I don't want you to go back to scripture and say, Lynn said this is in the Bible, because this is a thought. I want to clarify that before I share this. Is there a chance that as we are baptized and we are making that declaration, Father Jesus, I'm following you. We've got witnesses here that there are also spiritual witnesses that we can't see with our literal eyes, but that we are making a statement to. This is the kingdom that I belong to. I believe that actually happens also from the time we are born again. But I believe baptism is a special and important step that we take in declaring what team I'm going to be on. My next question is, who should be baptized? Mark 16:15 says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." I talked a little bit ago about believing. That's what he's saying here. It's not the baptism here that's saving him, but it's the believing. So if you're a Christian here this morning and you've never been baptized, if you're a believer, then it's important to be baptized. When I can understand that I need a Savior, and by confession verbally can state that I believe, then I can be baptized. We all came from different areas here, most of us here this morning. I shouldn't say most of us. Some of you have been here all your lives. There's a lot of us here that came from different areas. We practice this differently. We may not see things exactly the same. But Scripture teaches that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Doesn't matter where we come from, that's the Bible. That's what it says. So it's the same regardless of wherever we are. So the answer to that one is, if you believe you're born again, you should be baptized. So again, I want to just stress this, that baptism is an outward act of obedience because something has happened within us. We have been born again. It is a response from someone who has truly been born again. It doesn't bring us salvation, but it is making a public statement of whose we are, of where we belong, of what kingdom I'm serving. And there are two kingdoms. So it does make a statement of where, who we belong to. I want to share just a couple examples of baptism out of Scripture. You're going to need your Bibles for this. If you would turn to Matthew chapter 3, we're just going to look at a couple of different places where baptism took place. Let's see how they did it. Jesus, we want to look first of all at Jesus being baptized. Jesus left the glory of heaven and the presence of the Father to come to earth. He was fully God and fully man. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was perfectly pure and holy." So why did he need to be baptized? Matthew 3, verse 13. If you got your Bibles open, we're going to read through verse 17. It says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan," not to John, "to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I want to go back to verse 15. I think there's an answer there for us. Jesus answering said unto him, he was answering John. John was wondering, why are you not baptizing me? Why am I baptizing you? That doesn't seem right. Jesus said, "For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." I'm not exactly sure what all of that means, but here's what I take out of that. NLT says it this way: "It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires." I look at that and I say, Jesus gave us an example, didn't he? I'm not sure exactly what all it means. But God requires us to be baptized. I want to clarify something again this morning. If somebody dies without baptism, that didn't have the opportunity for baptism, that doesn't mean that they're lost. But I believe if we have opportunity, it's important that we take it to be baptized. I believe Jesus gave us an example here. I will do whatever my Father requires of me. And at this point, he says, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So Jesus was willing to do whatever it took to honor his Father, to meet the requirements. Even though he was sinless, he was willing to be baptized, not because he needed cleansing, but to be an example to those he would minister to. I think there's more there. I challenge you to take that scripture and dig a little deeper. I think there's more there that we need to see that I haven't picked up yet. So if you have a chance, actually you should just dig into that and see what you can find. Let's go to another one, Acts chapter 2. I shared about this one a bit the last time I preached, and I think I'm probably going to share out of here some more the next time I preach. In Acts 2, let me just quick turn to that. We have, this was at Pentecost, we have all the disciples gathered together. Peter had just preached. Actually, I think I'm wrong there. No, I am correct. Peter had just preached to them in verse 37. If you want to go to verse 37 there in chapter 2. He had said in verse 36, in the end of his message there, he said, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. And it says, when they heard it, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They knew there was something that they needed. So they asked, what shall we do? Peter's response in 38 was, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I'm just amazed at that every time I read that. There was an amazing baptism that took place. I have no idea how this all took place. But I believe it because it's in the Bible. They that gladly received his word were baptized. I think that's important for us to think about. I have two more I'd like to look at. Go to Acts 16, just a little bit further in the book of Acts. Here we have Paul and Silas. They had worked with a lady that had a demonic spirit before this. And because of that, the owners of this lady lost their income. And so they ended up being thrown into jail. Acts 16, verse 27 says, and the keeper of the prison, during the night, let me back up a little bit, during the night there was an earthquake, the doors were opened up, and all of a sudden the jailkeeper wakes up, and he realizes the doors were open. They could easily have escaped, that's what he thought, so he was going to take a sword, in verse 27, he was going to kill himself so he didn't have to deal with those that were higher than him. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Did I say Peter a little bit ago? I meant Paul if I did. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and his, straightway. You know, I don't see this man questioning. They told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. and thy house. And I don't believe that means that his whole household was going to be saved, but they had opportunity. And they did share with him. And it does say he and all his straightway. But I don't see him questing there. He heard and he believed. And they were baptized. Beautiful, beautiful picture. Let's go to the last one here, Acts chapter 8, if you back up a little bit again. Here we have the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And that's a lot of reading to do in Acts chapter 8. I don't think it'll take as long to read through there. Let's begin in verse 26. And let's just pick up the story here of the Lord through the Holy Spirit speaking to Philip. In verse 26, he said, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of the great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And I thought to myself, if I hear the Spirit speaking to him, if I sense within myself something that I need to do, this was weird. Go down there and talk to the guy that's in that chariot. But he didn't argue. He listened and he went. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So he told Philip, Come on, hop into my chariot next to me. Help me understand this scripture. The place of the scripture which you read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And then the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? So here was Philip's opportunity. It says he opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He verbally said, I believe. He confessed with his mouth that he believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. So these are just some examples of baptisms in the Bible. I don't want to change anything about them or even try to, but I want to believe them because that's what it says. Now, I know we haven't near covered all of what baptism is, some more different avenues about baptism, and I'm not going to try to go there this morning, but I like to, in one of my next messages, talk about the baptism of the Spirit. What is it? There's a lot of ideas out there. What does the Bible say it is? What about church membership? We've practiced that here for many, many years. Is that correct? Is it not? Let's see what the Bible says. A lot of those are questions that we have today. And I believe it's very important that we get into the Word and we dig into the Word. Let's find out how He wants us to live. Not how Lynn wants it. Not how anybody here wants it. But let's look at the Word of God. I'm challenging you to dig into this yourself. Don't just listen to me over the pulpit, but go home and actually dig. Find out what it actually says about baptism of the Spirit. When does it happen? It's important. When does it happen? Is it at the new birth? Some questions I'm just throwing out to you. So I challenge you to go home. Dig into it. Write down what you find. Write down the scriptures. Don't write down just what you think, but write down what the Bible says. And let's discern together as a body. What does the Word say about this? I'm excited when I look at Scripture and I see what the Bible says. I'm excited when it lines up with what I think. But if it lines up with somebody else's thinking, can I be just so excited in the same way, even if it's not what I think? I think that's pretty important, isn't it? We're a body. We need to work together as a body. Thank you for listening this morning. I might have given you more questions than I've given you answers this morning, but I challenge you to go home. Like I said before, go home. Dig into this. Make it your priority to find out what does the Bible really have to say. You're welcome to come to me with your ideas, but I would suggest your ideas line up with Scripture. If you say they do and you have Bible to back it, that's where I want to be for myself. I think sometimes we look at history, we learn a lot from history. That's important too. But it can't be outside of what Scripture teaches us. So Lynn doesn't have all the answers, but I know where to go to get the answers, and I need your help. We all need each other. God bless you. Would you stand? And we're going to close with a word of prayer. Thank you, God, again for the church body here. Father, I pray for wisdom for each one of us as we dig into the Word, as we look at what your commandments are. And Father, we understand that baptism is something that you have given us a commandment. And I pray that we would not let this divide us, but it would be something that would actually draw us close together because we want to do what your Word teaches. Give us humble hearts that are willing to hear from each other. Give us an attitude of love for each other and to each other. Lord, it's our desire to lift your name up above all else. You have brought us salvation. You've given us an opportunity to live life here in a way that glorifies you and to have a hope of an eternity forever in your presence. Father, I have no idea how that's going to be, but I sure do look forward to that. We bless you for working in our congregation this week. We thank you so much for all the prayers that you answered, and we honor you for that. Would you dismiss us now with your blessing? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.